Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is a blessing to be back in the studio. Tara looks so beautiful. I wish you guys could see her.
She's making fun of my faces.
No, she always has the cutest little hair things, and if you guys could only see her, she's just so cute. Last week, she storied from Acts chapter 11, and we talked about Peter and just on how he was getting beat up by bullies, story bullies, his testimony bullies. And how do you respond when people kind of come at you with a negative motive?
Yeah, it's hard. It's not easy.
No, but he gives a great example of how to respond.
He does. And I'm first going to ask a question before we get on to Peter, because really Peter was dealing with a mission field. He just came off the mission field. And I'm curious, what is your favorite mission field? And think of different places, because you have a mission field everywhere you go. What is your favorite mission field? Like, give me some of the places that you do missions right now.
My favorite mission field is my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, by far, my favorite mission field.
And
church.
Okay, so how have you made your neighborhood your mission field?
How have I made my neighborhood my mission field?
Yeah.
I think God made it my mission field. He just gave me a heart for people that are not easy to love. People that I see different, like I would normally never, ever hang out with. And then I've seen the fruit of God's love. And the Holy Spirit is just ruling and reigning. And every day I seek him about it. Every day he gives me an opportunity.
Mm.
And so that is my mission field. Because in the summer, people are outside. It is like, it is on and popping.
I love it.
In the spiritual realm.
I'm reaping the benefit of your mission field. Yeah, our good friend Beth. Beth used to live in Sabrina's neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And Beth came to know Christ on the mission field of Sabrina's neighborhood.
Yes.
And she's now serving as a helper for me in the ministry, helping with some edits. So isn't that cool how the circle of the mission field works?
And it was so funny. I knew that you would connect, and I knew she would love you and respect you.
And it's mutual.
Yeah. And it was an immediate connection when she came home to tell me about you. I was like, oh, I already know all this.
I love it. I love how God works. I brought up that my favorite.
Yeah, what about you? Where's your mission field?
You know, my absolute favorite is my car. You're going to laugh.
Your car is your mission field?
My children, when they get in my car, it is 100% a captive audience. They can't jump out. They can't knock me out. They can't, you know, block me out. I have some of the best theological discipling training up in the way you should go in our car. And the reason why I was asking, because I think oftentimes our mindset of what the mission field is pretty set. When I asked you the mission field, did the first thing that goes through your mind, you're like, "What? Wait, I'm not going overseas."
Yeah, I was thinking like, oh.
I saw, and that's, I think, very typical. That's what happened with Peter that day. See, he had just returned from the mission field. He had left and gone to Caesarea to meet with Cornelius, and he was on his way home. And his brethren had an idea of what the mission field could be or what it shouldn't be. And it's not for us to define the mission field for another, now is it?
No.
And what is God's take on people? Does he play favorites?
No. He loves us all.
I was Googling, and before I typically do the, you know, the story session on a passage, I like to go and find other people that have storied. And I find all kinds of fun stuff. So like there's a fun one on YouTube, and these guys do these flannel graphs with these guys, but they talk with like, "Hey, dude," and they make me laugh so hard. And they make me laugh so hard. But as I was Googling, somebody had taken the idea and the concepts from Acts 11 of God telling Peter, "What I have said is clean. You're not to say is unclean." And they began to post photos of people that might be, and it makes me want to weep, that might be declared by somebody as unclean. They had the poor. Mm. They had the rich. They had the artist. They had the dramatic. They had the pierced, the tattooed. They had just you name it. They had photo after photo with this just simple background music. And then certain scriptures from Acts 11 of the points that are made that, you know, God plays no favorites. There is no one called unclean in God's eyes. And I thought, you know, Lord, sometimes we want to say what the mission field is for another. And really and truly, the mission field is anywhere and everywhere that we go.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know, and of course, you know, you're going to have those that are like more informal, and then you're going to have those that are maybe more formal. So my more informal mission field, jokingly, definitely is my car with my children, because I am called to disciple them in righteousness. And you know, thank God that both Michaela and Grant both know the Lord now. But at the same time, that doesn't give me permission to stop. But I also have formal missions like the Open Door Mission. And, you know, where I go and I am deliberate and I'm intentional in giving the gospel on a regular basis to a group of people that I might not have otherwise had the pleasure or the opportunity to share Christ with. And we just went, a group from Cultivating Hearts Ministry, where we got a group together, and we went to the Open Door Mission recently and did a women's event on a Saturday. And kudos and love to you ladies. We had the best time and took along a group of exuberance worship dancers from Westside Church, where the girls performed to Stronger. And it was just absolutely sweet. Well, you know, sometimes you may think that, well, a person's way of doing missions has to be where you're only preaching and teaching. Well, the girls were doing worship dance. And in the afternoon, my daughter, Michaela, was performing to my beloved, what would be considered an interpretive ballet, jazz kind of feel. And the way that the room is set up at the Open Door Mission is we have a glass window, and then we were in like the kitchen area, and so there's a glass window behind her. And Michaela is worship dancing to this song as a family starts to walk by. And it was so captivating that the two little boys plastered their faces against the glass, and a little 2.5-year-old little girl with her thumb in her mouth just leaned there and just stared and watched as Michaela was speaking the gospel to the best of her ability with her worship dance. I was so overwhelmed by it. I'm like, I have to go tell this family, they have to come in. It's a women's event, but these are little children, but I felt I had to go out in the hall. And I'm like, come back in 45 minutes. We're going to have another dance the girls are going to do. We're going to have them repeat the morning dance. Come in so your kids can see. And we sent somebody to go get them, and they came in, and the little girl laughed through the whole dance. She was so exuberant in her heart to watch the big girls worship dance that she could not laugh. And what I want us to understand and grasp in our lives is that when we are out giving Christ with our talents, with our gifts, people are going to be drawn in. And Cornelius needed the Lord. God set it up for Peter to go. The whole group had the Spirit fall upon them. The whole group. And when we're doing our part and giving the gospel and our mission field, God will move and change lives. And even though we may have those that are the border bullies or the story bullies or those that are after us because of what we're doing, we should not stop what we are doing, because we are called to be a people who give the gospel. And that is what we are here to do. And Peter handled it so well.
Yes, he did.
And so when we are in this position, I was thinking through some things that he did. And, you know, he simply walked through some basic things that I feel will affect us as well. I don't know. Sabrina, sometimes when you get up and you lead worship, do you ever get a mental attack?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. regardless of what anybody else says, the mental right. attack can come, right? Yeah. Okay. One of the things that I'd like to encourage you is that as we're going out and doing our mission, there are some things Peter did that we can apply. The first is he trusted the truth of what he was doing. Okay, so when you are leading worship, if I am storing the Bible, we need to trust the truth of what we are doing. Okay, the truth of simple worship and song, the truth of simple telling of God's word in my own words, or if I'm speaking it, or if I'm reading a passage of scripture, or even quoting it, a memorized, I just need to trust the truth of what I'm doing.
That's right.
Okay, Peter did that. When they came after him, he didn't begin to question. He didn't begin to doubt. He trusted the truth of what he knew. Okay? He trusted the truth of what happened. The other thing that I want us to think and go through, and this one is more me talking to me, this lesson, all the lessons are from lessons of God teaching me, but I have been sharing for the last year biblical story and where I summarize the whole Bible. And I am noticing more and more, about 24 hours before I do the biblical story, and I get amazingly anxious. I mean, like high school, college level, the way I was then, anxious. Not just nerves, but I mean like anxious in my heart. And I'm like, God, where is this coming from? Why is this happening? And I had to go back and remind myself I have to trust the truth of what I'm doing.
I love that.
And so if I'm not trusting the truth of what I'm doing, you know, I'm not going to act as peaceably in the peace as I could normally otherwise. I also need to trust the Lord to do his work in me and through me. And I had a circumstance where I had a person send me an email recently, and she's got a pretty big theological question that could be something that, you know, it's one of those that, depending on interpretation, you know, could really get thorns coming out, and wanted some advice from him. Like, oh goodness, Lord. And I'm happy to answer this, but I copied her commentaries. I'm like, here's my opinion. This is where I've settled, but you need to read the experts kind of thing. And what it came down to in my advice to her is when we're in a circumstance and I speak and the Spirit of God speaks through me. So I say something, I'm not aware of those that are listening, and I speak out, and he begins to do his thing, and a person is taught, convicted, pierced in their heart, motivated, encouraged, whatever it is, it has nothing to do with me. When the Spirit of God is working inside us, he's the one that does all those things, not us.
Right.
When we are speaking his truth, it's him who makes the change happen. It's not us. Why do we think that we have to put that pressure upon ourselves? Peter didn't. At this point, Peter didn't. He had so matured in his walk with God. He just trusted the Lord and what he said and what he does, period. It wasn't up and it wasn't down. It just what is. Mm-hmm. Because he is, I am. And so we allow ourselves to get into that battle of the mind that we don't need to go into. The third thing he did is that the Lord told him to go, told him not to hesitate. He trusted the call of God to do what he was called to do. He was told to be a witness unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. When we are doing God's will with our talent, we have to trust the call he has given us. Mm-hmm. And not allow the enemy to rob us with doubt or distortion or deception, anything that might keep us from doing what he's given us to do. But it is so easy for us to fall into that testing of the flesh, because it's the flesh that's coming up and testing us at that point, because you're going back into a fleshly way of thinking, mm-hmm. your old man instead of your new man. Peter, at this point, he had so matured in Christ. It was no more the waffling this way or that or spontaneous. It was straightforward, out and out. God is God, and this is what it is. The other thing that blew me away that he did is that he trusted the sending that God had given him. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." He trusts that he was sent. And so I want to encourage you that as you are in a position where you're going forth in your talent, speaking God's truth, sharing what you've seen, sharing what you've heard, do it in the trust that you trust the truth, you trust the Lord, you trust the call, and you trust that he has sent you. From there, all the rest is God's job. It's not yours to worry about. And when we let it happen that way, then the peace which surpasses all understanding not only affects you, but it affects those who are watching. And the men could not deny what he shared. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like, okay, so right, the Holy Spirit worked. God is good and he's at work. And so and it ends up being we're all involved or affected by it. So have you been tested in those, Sabrina? Tough question.
Have I been tested in
trusting
and truth, trusting Lord, my call? Definitely. Especially the more you're in the will, obviously, you know, with worship, especially the more you get asked to do worship and the more you kind of try to muster it up in your own strength and it never works. It's like, this is, you know, I'm called to do this. But when I start thinking like, am I going to mess up the song? Do I know all the words? Will they like this song? I mean, those are things that shouldn't really matter. I'm in tune to the Spirit. And if they don't know the song, they'll learn the song. And if I mess up, it's okay.
Yeah.
Be humble.
Yeah.
And so I think it's all learning. The more I've been being asked and, you know, I'm taking these baby steps to do the keyboarding and it just gets greater.
Aw. And how is your keyboarding going?
It's going good. It's just the summer's tough, you know, and so I'm just trying to set aside time to do it because I'm going to start doing worship. I've been doing it at the Hope Center. And then also I'm going to do it at church for the women. I'm going to be leading them in worship for the study this summer. And it's just kind of like judgment because I know how judgmental I can be that it's those things, those thoughts, they come like the anxiety you talk about. I know how that feels.
It's been a big test in my
Absolutely.
Faith and a part of the maturing. And my prayer is for you and for myself and for anyone listening that we get to the point that we're like Peter at this point. Because before the resurrection, he was the one that was, get behind me, Satan, in a split second. Whereas now he's just straightforward, steady, and moving forward with what God has presented before him. And it did not matter that he was under attack by even brethren. He was able to stay stable.
Yes,
and proclaiming what he was called to do. And that's what we want, is we want that stability because Jesus is the anchor of our hope. He is stable. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We hope you connect with us. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at tararye.com and we will promise to email back. God bless.